Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to State of the Arts with Michael Sterling and Andrew David James, only on LA Talk Radio.
Yes, you are on this Thursday, December 28th, 2017.
Coming to the end of the year, Michael.
Yeah, this is our last show of the year.
What?
Yeah.
It's going to be 2018. Doesn't that sound like the
future,
man?
Yeah, a little scary,
like,
right?
Buck Rogers, 2018.
And I was just saying to our guest, I said, looking out the window here in the building that we broadcast from, and it's such a beautiful day. It's got to be 80 degrees out there.
That's right. Christmas in California, man.
But this morning at 7 a.m., it was like 60?
Yeah.
Or maybe less than that. It's weird.
Nobody knows how to dress, man.
Yeah, exactly. And
so
I brought,
true.
That's why I'm in whatever, sweater. But we are here, and we are happy to be here. And
we got some talent with us today.
I would say so.
What I don't like is they're good looking too. That's
I know, they kind of, yeah.
I like to sit next to people who are shorter and dumpier than me, and that's hard to find these days, man.
Well, they have definitely raised the bar of cool in the room.
No doubt about it. Yeah. Obviously, here on December 28th, as Michael said, and we are here at the last show of the year, but good things ahead for State of the Arts.
That's right, Andrew. And just a few days left of 2017, and we have a wonderful show, as Andrew said, and let's welcome two very talented performers to this program. You know this man, and probably both of them, actually, but one of them in particular, for being a major star on Broadway.
Mr. Are you talking about me?
Well, yeah.
I thought maybe somebody picked me out of the audience last week or something. I didn't know.
Really? You'll get there. Major star on Broadway, Mr. John Lloyd Young.
That's
and
right.
Ronnie Marmo.
No
are
doubt.
Here.
No doubt.
Yes.
The fans just travel so well. My goodness. Welcome, guys. Thank you for being here.
Thank you.
His fans fly in, all of them.
That's
fly
what,
in.
That actually is
whole
true.
Contingency here.
That's on
yes.
a loop every 20 seconds.
That's right. Just play that for karma.
Phone, yeah.
I love it. Well, now, obviously, we're going to get back to these two amazing gentlemen here in just a minute. But before we do that, Michael, we should take a moment and thank our amazing sponsors.
Yes, we should. We should. And this will be the last time that we're going to be doing this, actually.
Mm-hmm.
We'd like to thank our sponsor, Breakdown Services, the entertainment industry standard used around the world, providing the most professional means to reach talent agents as well as actors when casting a project. To learn more about Breakdown Services, visit BreakdownExpress.com.
We'd also like to acknowledge PerformingArtsLive.com, one of the Internet's most prominent listing sources for the live arts in Southern California. We're grateful to Performing Arts Live for lending their support to State of the Arts.
We are indeed. And I must say, ladies and gentlemen, we have been very grateful to Breakdown Services, mm-hmm. who has supported this program in a presenting kind of way for the last 7 years that
That's
we've
right.
been on the air. And they are moving on, mm-hmm. and we have a fabulous new sponsor coming in, starting with our next show, Princess Cruises.
That's right, yeah. So obviously, Princess Cruises is the place to go to for cruises these days. But not only that, they are such great supporters of the arts. Obviously, really cool stuff
absolutely.
Coming out there. Yeah.
Absolutely, and they're located here in Southern California. Most people think they're in Florida,
mm-hmm.
As most of the other lines are. But they are based out of Santa Clarita, and they sponsor so many great, wonderful things that have to do with the arts.
That's right. We're so excited. And obviously, great people over there too. We've had a chance to meet them. Even had a couple on the show, which is cool.
Exactly.
So. Now, Michael, before we get to our amazing guest today, all the good things going on here in Southern California. Holiday week, how was your week?
Doing
well? Did you have anything?
We had a Christmas.
Very nice.
I had a nice Christmas. I did. It was a little complicated.
Yeah.
I'll make it very short. Beautiful Christmas Eve with good friends and a great meal and just lovely. And Christmas Day, going up to see people who are very, I'm very fond of. They're kind of an extended family. Have a beautiful home on the beach in Oxnard. And I went out, bought presents for everybody, and that was going to be a big day. And I got up and I felt kind of, I don't know. I felt, yeah, really?
Is that the exact way you felt? Yeah, really?
Yeah, it was kind of one of those mornings, right?
I've had those.
I started feeling a little melancholy, and I turned around to say goodbye to my dogs.
Should break anybody's heart.
Cooper and Riley, right? Two beagles.
Leaving them there.
And I had this huge bag of full of presents, and I was going to catch a train. I was not going to drive up there. I was going to take the train to Oxnard. And the train station locally here is not very far away.
Sure.
And I packed up the car, and the dog said to me, like, really? You know, really? And I shut the door and said, be good to each other.
Goodbye, and I'll
see
you
soon.
Right?
All those things. Got in the car, went to the train station, and I ran into some traffic. And that was the traffic I ran into was very close to the train station.
Wow.
I mean, I would have been there on time. I missed the train.
Oh, no.
By 6 minutes.
Oh, no. Well, there wasn't another one you could take a little
there
later?
There was, much later in the day, and I couldn't take that up because it would have the turnaround for the last
wow.
train coming back
yeah.
was at 7 o'clock. So
wow.
I would have had no time.
Oh,
so I
Michael.
Sadly had to call them and apologize.
Oh, and, we got to have a Christmas celebration. Get
yeah.
you back on track, man.
Yeah, so I came home, and I was you know, very determined to have a nice Christmas day. Certainly the dogs were happy.
Yeah.
And I went out and bought a bunch of stuff at the store and came home and cooked it. And we had
now, did you consider calling a cab or an Uber or anything like that to get up to Oxnard?
The what?
Consider calling a cab or an Uber or anything like that to get up to Oxnard?
I did not.
I
no.
A good second option?
Yeah. I think underlying was the fact that I really wanted to go home
with
and be
the
with
puppies.
The dogs, yeah.
I could see that. I yeah. could absolutely, and that's obviously a great
there
way
you.
To spend the holidays
and you?
Too. Busy, you know. I saw four shows this week. I saw three versions of A Christmas Carol. There's
my.
A bunch of people who we all pass around the Christmas Carol torch as we do each other's productions and go to see them. And then, of course, Beauty and the Beast, The Christmas Rose, which
yes.
I took the family to, which was great. And then I had a voiceover job right after Christmas. So lots of good stuff going on. But it's been a busy week, and the traffic on the way down here was swamped. I don't know if you guys hit any of that, but I was blown away by the fact of how many people are out and about. Obviously, the great weather is a good thing, but it was busy
well, it's
today.
All the sales at the stores
true.
And
that's
so
true.
Forth. I mean, it's they're bigger now than they were before Christmas.
It's interesting. I'm pretty sure my wife bought them out of everything, but
really?
Maybe there's still something left somewhere in Southern California. Hey, we should bring in one of my favorite performers and the gentleman sitting there to your left, yeah?
Yes, I think it would be a fine idea.
Our first guest is a Tony Award winner who originated the role of Frankie Valli in Broadway's Jersey Boys. He went on to win the lead actor Tony, Drama Desk, Outer Critics Circle, and Theater World Awards, becoming the only American actor in history to win all four leading actor awards for a Broadway debut.
In 2013, he was appointed by Barack Obama to the President's Committee on the Arts and Humanities. He made his West End debut in London, opening Jersey Boys at the historic Piccadilly Theater. In 2014, he recreated his award-winning role on screen in Warner Brothers' film adaptation of Jersey Boys.
He played to sold-out crowds as Marius in Les Mis at the Hollywood Bowl. He was also the first-ever guest star invited to appear on Fox's TV's Emmy Award-winning hit Glee.
In 2016, he returned to the theater stage for the record. This is the name of the show, For the Record, Scorsese, American Crime Requiem at the Wallace Annenberg mm-hmm. Theater for the Performing Arts in Beverly Hills.
That's right.
Having
appeared in concert at the Terrace Theater, within the John F. Kennedy Center, New York's 54 Below, and Cafe Carlyle, he returns to Sterling's Upstairs at the Federal for his 27th engagement there. Wow, pretty amazing.
It is amazing, isn't it? He joins us today, ladies and gentlemen, to talk about his remarkable career and this exciting year in show, John Lloyd Young by day and by night, with shows at 1 p.m. and 6 p.m. Saturday, December 30th. Tommy Farragher has been his longtime musical director, and Tommy's quartet will be there with him on stage. Ladies and gentlemen, please give it up one more time for John Lloyd Young.
Yeah. Woo. I love our live studio.
They're
audience.
So supportive, yes. aren't they? On cue almost, wouldn't you say?
Yeah, definitely.
Now, they John, never let us down.
John, I got to tell you, man, I've been fortunate enough to see you a couple times live and always enjoyed that. Do you prefer the film medium, the theatrical medium, or the concert medium? Is there one that you'd rather do if you had your choice every day for the rest of your life?
I like them all separately. I like to do
different art forms.
Yeah, I like concerts because you kind of are in control, and your band, you can. It's a very sort of intimate thing, but a movie is the best way to collaborate, I think.
No doubt, it's definitely, and tons of great artists involved in that. Yeah. One of the things I love best about your live show, from what I've seen, is that you have no hesitation to deliver every bit of your soul in everything you do. You're a lyricist, of course, as well, I believe. You've written songs. And more importantly, you show other people's music channeled through you in such an amazing way. Has that been hard? Is it draining to do a live show like that?
No, I think of the song the way that an actor thinks of a mask. You know, it's you get beneath the song or behind the song and then live through it.
Interesting.
I think Streisand in her early career described her songs as one act plays. I like that. Let's say you luck out and you get a series and it goes for 7 years, but they change the showrunner after the first year and
right.
Your character's doing things you hoped you'd never ever have to do ever on television, right? And you're stuck with it. As a singer, when you're doing a concert, let's say there's a song that the audience wants you to always sing and you don't like it. It's 3 minutes of your life. And then everything else is a choice that you've made. So for me, concert work is a wonderful thing to have in between what is always, for almost all actors, the elusive challenge of getting a movie or getting a part that's right for you. So it's really my bread and butter and my number one creative expression. It's a place where I can test things out. Michael's place, Sterling's upstairs at the Federal in North Hollywood, is my home base.
And no doubt.
It's a place where I can really experiment, sleep in my own bed at night, and work on things in front of a very appreciative audience. And also just, every time I do a set there, at least a third of the set is just songs that I like to do.
Right. Cool. Right. And, let's face it, the Jersey Boys and John are synonymous in so many people's minds, and all of his fans who, some of them don't know him from Broadway, but mm-hmm. they do from the movie.
Sure.
And so many of them are so loyal to his concerts, and I'm not exaggerating when I say that they fly in from all points around the world, from Tokyo, from London, from South America, from New York, or in other parts of the country.
Yeah.
And then there's his base here. But and I'm not talking about just once or twice, they will come repeatedly to be in the room, to be close to this
well,
wonderful man.
And Michael, right, that I just went and played Tom Wingfield in the Glass Menagerie in the Deep South.
Yes.
In Montgomery, Alabama.
Wow.
And these dedicated friends came again from all over to Montgomery, Alabama.
So
a lot harder to get a flight to Montgomery, Alabama than it is to get a flight to Los Angeles.
It's so true.
And it was non-musical.
Wow.
Of course, because they had to sit there and pay attention to everything. So
what was the theater, John?
Alabama Shakespeare Festival.
Wild. Very cool. I've got good friends down there, Patrick Vest, and a lot of great people. And obviously, that's a great role. Is that the first time you'd ever done that show?
Yeah.
That's an amazing piece, piece of writing, no doubt.
For those people who might not know John's music from his career, we have a track here that we'll introduce if you have... would like to become a little bit more familiar, because you certainly would be familiar with this particular tune. And it was one of the highlights of Jersey Boys. So let's play a little bit of that.
You're just too good to be true. Can't take my eyes off of you. You'd be like heaven to touch. I wanna hold you so much. At long last, love has arrived, and I thank God I'm alive. You're just too good to be true. Can't take my eyes off of you. Pardon the way that I stare. There's nothing else to compare. The sight of you leaves me weak. There are no words left to speak. But if you feel like I feel, please let me know that it's real. You're just too good to be true. Can't take my eyes off you. Just too good to be true. Can't take my eyes off you. Just too good to be true.
Yeah.
No kidding. That's exactly how I sound in my own shower at home. Exactly.
Really?
The same way. Yeah. And nobody can confirm that, but that's how I sound. I love that song. And John, your shows are so much fun. The name of the performer is John Lloyd Young, and the show is By Day, By Night at Sterling's upstairs at the
And
Federal.
It is two different shows, mm-hmm. as I said at the beginning. And what you just heard is on John's current CD, My Turn, which is such an interesting title.
Right. Except that recording is not the one that's on my CD.
Oh, yes.
That, I recorded that vocal when I was a baby. All those years ago. I listened to it and I think, wow, that's a
totally
different
place.
Singer.
Cool.
Yeah.
Oh, that's interesting.
I mean,
yes,
that's the famous vocal from the double platinum CD.
Yes. When you're asked to do that everywhere you go, aren't you? I mean, I've heard you do that a number of times.
Yeah, but you know, it's deepened now. Yeah. One of the interesting things about that lyric is that, thank goodness that it's not like that I didn't become known for, you know, itsy bitsy teeny weeny yellow polka dot bikini or something. You know, because that song grows with the artist.
Yeah,
you know, right. Those feelings are just about being in love at any age. And so that'll be a song that will not be awkward to sing when I'm 73.
You're right.
And it's much more deep now that I'm, you know, at a different age than I was when I recorded it.
Changes and evolves with you. That's cool.
I'm not going to tell you what that age.
Well, the matinee performance that John is going to do at Sterling's upstairs at the Federal is going to be his CD for the very first time. His
wow.
set list is all of the songs on the CD.
That's very
correct?
Cool.
Yeah. Well, we did the CD in two stages. We
right.
started the project, and then I got asked to go back and do Jersey Boys again on Broadway.
Right.
It was 5 years into the run. And so we stopped the project midstream and then finished it on the other end when I was, you know, months and months later when I was done returning to Broadway. So I never actually had a release party or did the whole CD from start to finish.
Wow.
Ever. So we're going to do that at the matinee.
Right. It'll be a party atmosphere, I assure you.
And this is December 30th. We're talking about
Saturday.
December 30th. That's right. What a great way to end 2017.
And, of course, tickets are available by going to brownpapertickets.com on the internet or calling at that address. or calling them at 800-838-3006, extension 1. And the wonderful thing about Brown Paper Tickets is they are a company that operates 24/7, so if you call at 2 o'clock in the morning, there is live customer service helping you.
Yeah.
So no excuse not to get a ticket. And again, you're going to be seeing, ladies and gentlemen, something that is a first with John's shows, at least at Sterling's and...
Anywhere.
Wow. That makes it more special.
Well, and obviously, Sterling's upstairs at the Federal is located in the Federal Bar and Grill at 5303 Lancashire Boulevard, right in the heart of the NoHo Arts District. There's valet parking available. It's great food. Can you tell people a little bit about how it works? You show up there, you get a great burger.
Yeah, the door's open and at 11:30, and you come in for brunch. We're going to do a brunch, a new menu, and it is upscale casual attire because of the holiday. It's actually pointed toward the year-end concert, as we said. And the show will begin at 1 o'clock, and you're going to have the time of your life, and it'll be fun, and you get so up close and personal. But it's a venue that seats about 105 people, so...
First seating's at 11:30, correct?
Yes.
And then the show goes up at 1, so you have a great time, and then John comes on, and you get to close out that afternoon. Or you can come to the evening show, where doors open at 4:30,
yes.
And then 6 o'clock is when the show will start there. And I can tell you, I've been there. It is not only a great show by a great performer, but a great ambiance and a great atmosphere to sit there, have some good food. Get the vanilla Manhattan. In fact, get 6 of them and bring me a couple, because, man, I love it.
We have a drinker among us.
I tell you, well, look, I'm a connoisseur, I'll have you know. So that is some serious.
That second show is very festive cocktail attire kind of.
The vanilla second show is our early New Year's celebration.
Right? Yes.
Very
nice. Yeah.
And the music will be the new stuff we're working on for the next album.
Fantastic.
Very cool.
The vanilla Manhattan in the afternoon might change the course of the day.
Hey, I'm ready for it, man. Let's see where the night goes.
John, you know, I have to tell John, I saw you on Broadway do this, and I also saw you do For the Record.
Cool.
And what a hell of a talent, man.
Right?
This guy's, I mean, really.
No kidding.
And I want to thank you, because when we just listen to that song, I couldn't help but think about my dad, because when I was a kid, we used to sit on a couch and listen to Frankie Valli, and he's gone now, but old Brooklyn guy. And
yeah, right? That's
anyway,
so true.
Yeah.
Well, you know, Ronnie and I, we have friends, Jersey Boys movie friends in common.
We do.
Cool.
Johnny Connors,
Jeremy Luke. Jeremy Luke,
Renee
and you directed
Marino.
Renee Marino, played
love,
my wife.
Absolutely.
I directed her in Danny in the Deep Blue Sea this past year. She
oh, that's right, of course.
Of course. Wonderful.
As they say, she gave blood for that was
every
a
night
great
she left it on the stage. Did you get to see it?
Yeah, I did.
Oh, she left it on the stage every night. As a director, I just went, what do you want me to say?
She played in I Only Have Eyes for You, a showdown at the Montalban that we went to go see, and she had a relatively smaller amount of time on stage, but she owned that.
She was so played beautiful. Carmen Miranda.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
John and I met formally at a friend's funeral recently, Lou Volpe.
Who was the father in
sure.
The
he was
Jersey
the father,
yeah,
and I directed him in a play at the 68, and he came to every show of ours over the last few years.
Another great performance.
Tragically gone too soon. He was an incredible man, and John and I got to meet there, sadly.
His wife came and saw our last Sterling's performance, and we sang Sherry for her.
Wow.
All of the audience got up and serenaded her in Lou's memory.
Wow,
very
that's
nice.
Amazing.
Very
nice. Cool.
Very cool. Nice.
Ladies and gentlemen, the gentleman's name is John Lloyd Young. You can't miss him. If you get a chance to Google him, you'll see some of what he's going to do. And, of course, check out his CD. But more importantly, two shows. I don't think that's done very often, right? John, do you do two sets down at Sterling's Upstairs?
This is the first time I've ever done two shows with John in one day.
That's pretty cool. And no doubt that both of those will sell out, as obviously they always do. But that's a cool thing.
Well, we have an interesting thing to attach to that. We're for the matinee performance on this program today for those. Those of you who are listening, you will have the opportunity of getting complimentary tickets. We added a few extra seats to be able to do this.
Am I eligible to enter this contest?
No.
Okay.
Just come.
I was going to ask the same thing.
I'm so in on that, man.
Exactly.
Just come and be there. But the way that you can win those tickets, we're going to give away five pair, and we're going to do this also with Ronnie's show that we'll be talking about here in a moment. And you will write us on our State of the Arts LA Talk Radio Facebook page.
So either a private message or a post on the page.
Right.
Will be fine.
So we will take them in the order. So the first five people who write that message and are in and leave your contact information with us, just in case we need to call you and talk to you.
That's right.
And you will have the time of your life. We promise you.
There is no doubt about it. So go ahead and we'll put some more information up on that on our Facebook page. But that is active now and will remain active even if you're listening to the podcast. So check that out and go see the amazing John Lloyd Young. No doubt, no doubt. Cool. Michael, shall we take a moment and do a live arts calendar?
You know, yeah. Do we have just one to do?
I believe we do.
Let's do that.
Who can think of the holidays without that old familiar refrain, "You'll poke your eye out, kid"? Sierra Madre Playhouse presents the stage adaptation of A Christmas Story. Make sure not to miss this adaptation of the family favorite, the modern classic story of Ralphie Parker and his family's most memorable Christmas.
The Parker family gets its Christmas tree. Ralphie is pursued by a girl in his class. Ralphie is pursued by the class bully, and most famously, Ralphie sets off on a campaign to acquire his most desired Christmas present, a Red Ryder BB air rifle.
Mm-hmm.
A Christmas Story is on stage now at the Sierra Madre Playhouse through December 31st. For tickets or more information, call 626-355-4318 or visit sierramadreplayhouse.org.
That's right. Obviously, great playhouse, great show. Cool, cool.
Our next guest, ladies and gentlemen, is a playwright and an actor and a producer and a director and has starred in more than 50 feature films and television shows, including Back in the Day, Deuces Wild, Crocodile Dundee in L.A., West of Brooklyn, Pizza with Bullets, Death of a Tree, and Irish Eyes, among many others.
His TV guest starring roles include Jag, The Young and the Restless. He has also enjoyed a three-year run on ABC's General Hospital. On stage, he has starred in more than 30 plays. A few of his favorites include his portrayal of Lenny Bruce in the one-man production of Lenny Bruce is Back, Bill Wilson in Bill W. and Dr. Bob, Sylvia in Baby Doll, Earl in the L.A. premiere of...
Silva.
Oh, you're right. Silva.
Sylvia, that's a whole nother play.
You probably make more money that way.
That I did in private.
Sell a lot of tickets. Earl in the L.A. premiere of The Late Henry Moss, Danny in The Deep Blue Sea, and Satan in The Last Days of Judas Iscariot.
He received the Robert Pastorelli Rising Star Award for achievements as an actor, writer, director, and producer at the 2010 Garden State Film Festival, and continues to serve as the artistic director of Theater 68 in Los Angeles and in New York.
He recently completed an audiobook in which he portrays Lenny Bruce in Lenny's autobiography, How to Talk Dirty and Influence People. He has directed and produced stage productions extensively in Los Angeles and New York.
We're so happy to have him with us in studio today to talk about his career and his starring role in Theater 68's Critics' Choice production of I Am Not a Comedian, I'm Lenny Bruce, extended through January 27th, 2018, for an eighth successful month. Please welcome the very talented Ronnie Marmo.
Yeah.
Welcome, welcome.
That's embarrassing. Yeah. I hate when I meet people and on their business card they have actor, writer, director. It's so annoying. That's why I don't have a card.
Well, you should be embarrassed because this play is going to run for the next 20 years, man. How many times have you been extended?
If I'm lucky, it will.
It's unbelievable.
Thank you. We're in our seventh month and we will be going into our eighth month in mid-January. And what a blessing. People just keep showing up. So
they're
keep
loving
doing
this
it.
Production. Yeah. I went to go look about it and there were pages and pages of now extended, now extended, now extended. So you have a whole other month of this to run at Theater 68. Correct?
Yes. Oh, cool. Five more weeks at this point. And really what we're doing, if the audience stopped coming, we'd probably have to shut it. But we're really trying to move it to Chicago or New York. And Joe Mantegna, as my director, is a wonderful man and great director.
Right.
He says, let's just keep it going. And you know.
Would he come and direct it in other theaters?
Oh, there? Yeah. In fact, he comes every week still.
Oh, really?
Wow.
Yeah, he sees it every week. Wow. It's 7 months. He gave me notes the other night. I said, Joe, please. He goes, no, really. After the show.
For 3 years.
He said to me after the show the other night, he goes, you found it, kid. You found it. I go, what do you mean? He goes, tonight was the night. You found it.
Everything else was previews.
No. I go, I've been previewing for 7 months. I go, okay, Joe. But the idea that he's still inspired,
absolutely.
I mean, that's like, No one else could have done this.
Living organism, man. That's a cool
what
thing.
What was the catalyst of your relationship with him?
15 years ago, I wrote Joe a letter to a P.O. box. I loved his work and Tony Winner and for Glengarry. And I just thought he's an Italian-American actor who was able to navigate through his career really gracefully and not play a bunch of Vinnies
That's
and Tonys.
Right.
And so I appreciated him, and I wanted him to know that. And I wrote this film called West of Brooklyn. And I had one role left to cast, and I was just dying for Joe Mantegna to do it. So I sent it to a P.O. box that I found online, and 2 days later he called me and said,
wow.
I read your script. I'd like to have lunch with you. And,
wow.
And he's been my mentor ever since.
What are the odds
of
that?
That's fantastic.
Yeah, I think it's interesting because I think we get something mutually out of this relationship. I feel like, he was me. A generation ago, and
you know, and it says speaks volumes for him too, because I mean, he opened the letter and he read your script, and it mm-hmm. came from someone that he didn't know, and most actors probably would not do that; they would siphon it somewhere else. And
yeah, I don't know if you know Joe Mantegna personally, but
I don't.
He is a gentleman. He's the guy everybody loves, and I can't say it. I mean, we've gotten press for this show, Extra, which is nationwide, and really it's because we submit, and then they go, oh, Joe's involved, I'm on my way.
Well, he's
and not because
too.
He's famous, because he's a
yeah.
gentleman.
I mean, obviously a great actor and a great director as well, but he's funny. I saw him on Saturday Night Live, the time where they had a bunch of audience members stand up and try to walk out because they thought Joe Mantegna was on the show.
The bear.
And he was
yeah.
so dry. It was hilarious to watch that opening bit. I think he's got such range, and he's still working consistently, playing such a vast
he's
array of
Criminal
characters.
Minds for the last
right.
dozen years.
That's right.
Which I'm lucky enough, in 3 weeks, I have a wonderful guest star on January 17th.
On Criminal Minds?
Yeah.
Cool. Is it your first time?
Or? Yeah, it was my first time on that show.
For you.
Yeah, it's a cool role. But Joe's been on The Simpsons for 20-something years. He's
oh, that's
Fat
funny.
Tony.
I'd forgotten that. You're
He's
right.
Fat
yeah.
Tony.
Oh, man. That's great.
Anyway.
What is your fascination with Lenny Bruce? And tell our audience, because many of them are very young and might not know who Mr. Bruce was.
I spent the last 5 years writing this play. 10 years ago, as you mentioned in the bio, I had done another play mm-hmm. called Lenny Bruce is Back, and it was a wonderful show written by Sam Bobrick. And but I always felt like something was missing. I really wanted to push the envelope with Lenny. And Lenny was a comedian, amongst other things, who fought freedom of speech to the Supreme Court and lost. And in the 60s, in this country, he got arrested for saying schmuck. In the 60s. And,
great, now we got to cancel the show. Thanks for bringing that up.
He offended, he did this bit called Religions Incorporated, and yeah. he offended this Catholic cop in Chicago, and that's when it all started. There wasn't a curse word in it. And then they busted him for obscenity all over the country and eventually all over the world, and he became the scapegoat. And, he's influenced music, poetry, yeah. just everything, and George Carlin, Richard Pryor. If you love these guys, Louis C.K., the people, Lisa Lampanelli, these people.
Lisa Lampanelli.
Yeah, I mention her because she's the female,
I have seen her in person.
She's amazing.
What a ride.
I want her to see the show, actually.
God.
I've been thinking about it.
Oh, I'm sure. Yeah.
But anyway, Lenny paved the way for all those guys. And,
cool.
And I fell in love with Lenny Bruce after learning a lot about him because for those who think they know Lenny, they say, oh, the guy with the foul mouth or whatever. But they don't know Lenny. And my show, I'm happy to say, you really leave there going, I know the man. And Kitty Bruce, his daughter, mm-hmm. told me the other day that in 50 years, I'm the one who's gotten it right.
Wow.
And,
what a compliment.
It's to me it's the amazing. Review. So very much like John getting to play Frankie Valli, getting to play Lenny Bruce for this generation and beyond is such a... It's something I don't take lightly. And... sadly, we need Lenny's voice in this country more than ever right now.
Boy, oh boy,
don't
we? Censorship,
freedom of
don't
speech,
we?
And we need him. Right? It's sad. In some ways, we've progressed. Other ways, we have taken many steps back. And Lenny, I feel an obligation right now. And I'm a good actor. The work I'm doing, I feel like something else is happening in the room. And I mean that without getting too weird. But something else is part of this production. It's really special.
Very cool.
He needs you.
Well,
he's not around to sort of to promote his own legacies. He needs someone else to do it.
Thank you. It's such a great thing to keep that living on that way. The name of the show I'm Not a Comedian, I'm Lenny Bruce. And this show has gotten, I mean, I can't list all the reviews. I would run out of time here on the show today. But go ahead and Google I'm Not a Comedian, I'm Lenny Bruce. You're going to find great things, directed by Joe Mantegna and obviously starring the man you're listening to now. And as you go ahead and you watch this, as you look for tickets, you want to check out performances run on Friday and Saturday at 8 p.m. Is that correct?
Yes, Friday and Saturday for five more weeks.
At Theater 68. Now, people may not have been to Theater 68. Obviously, there's a lot of theater options in this town. If you haven't hit Theater 68, now is the time. This is a great venue here, and it's located at 5112 Lancashire Boulevard in North Hollywood. You can swing by the Federal Bar and Grill and grab yourself
a vanilla
Manhattan. It's a block away. I go there all the time.
Right? Yeah, no doubt.
Theater 68, the old Deaf West, and then Antaeus. And then we took it over and made it what we've made it now.
And obviously a great artistic house with so many good things.
Well, you know, I am going to quote one of the reviews because it's important, and the Los Angeles Times has given it a critic's choice, and the quote is compelling, perfectly inflected performance. And George Pinocchio, our friend, my buddy from ABC7, terrific and amazing, and on and on and on. This is exactly, there's a ton of them here.
Mm-hmm. Thank you, Michael.
So you have something very special in store, ladies and gentlemen, to see. And if you don't know who Lenny Bruce was, see this show and become educated, as Ronnie was saying, about the fact that at one, you know, the lack of freedom of speech and where we are today, and we're in this terrible grind in Washington and trying to get out of it as best we can, and hopefully the new year will make that happen.
Well, and Ronnie, this is not your only association with Lenny Bruce. Obviously, you mentioned the show previously, but the audiobook as well. How did that come about?
You know, the family, Kitty Bruce, asked me to record the his autobiography, How to Talk Dirty and Influence People, and it was a hell of an honor. And I flew to New York, and I did this autobiography, and it was, I don't know if you've ever done audiobooks, John, but it was by far the hardest thing I've ever done in my life. I had many meltdowns in the studio, and like, you know, I was doing Lenny, man. He was Groovy Baby. And the producer go, why are you talking like that? Don't worry, man. Two is a preposition. They, you know, they were like, what is he doing? So I was like, please just trust me. But what an honor to think that when I was growing up, Dustin Hoffman's voice was Lenny because the great film Lenny.
Oh, of course, right.
And now for the next generation, my voice is synonymous with Lenny Bruce, and it's an honor I take really, really seriously. So
that's cool.
It's cool, man. I'm really, really delighted.
Awesome.
And for this show that we're talking about, ladies and gentlemen, as I said earlier, we are also doing a ticket giveaway for five pair of tickets for Friday, December 29th, and more importantly, for January 5th. And you, again, have to write us at our Facebook page, State of the Arts, LA Talk Radio, and the first five incoming emails requesting tickets for this show will be in contact with you.
Again, the name of the show you'll want to mention in that message on Facebook there is I am not a comedian, I'm Lenny Bruce.
Such a great title.
Such a fun show, too. Such a great
title. It sums it up, right? The title is like, he's not a comedian, so much more.
And you can find us on Facebook at State of the Arts with Michael Sterling and Andrew David James.
That's right.
Pretty cool.
That's right.
Michael, one of the things I love best about this kind of material right now is that there have been so many people who have seen this. The buzz is starting to get passed around to people who aren't necessarily theater goers, which is cool. You've crossed that bound a little bit, and I read someone online who was posting on social media saying it was like I'd gone back in time to see Lenny Bruce, which is such a cool thing to feel that way. It's, you've created a time machine at Theater 68. Pretty nice.
When I walk into the lobby after the show every night, there's at least a dozen people waiting to tell me experiences they've had with Lenny.
Wow.
And when I tell you, I cry with people in the lobby every night. Lenny, I miss my friend. You brought my friend back. It was Lenny. You took me back. You know, 50 years ago, and I was just a young girl. And you're back. He's back. And so, to me, those are the reviews. You know, Richard Lewis came last week.
Wow,
who is the biggest Lenny fan publicly?
Right, I'm
he
sure.
comes up to me after the show. Tears in his eyes. He goes, am I allowed to say it?
Of course.
He says, let me fucking tell you something. Who the hell's going to do a show about Lenny Bruce? Where does this kid get his balls? What the hell am I coming to see? I wanted to hate this stupid show. What the hell's going on? was the greatest night of theater I've ever been to.
Wow.
Thank you. Kiss in my face. Thank you.
That,
thank
my
you.
Friend, is a review.
And then he called Kitty Bruce because they're all still close. And I went, okay, so he signed off on it. And so I guess we got something. You know? Because that's more important to me is what his friends thought.
Exactly.
That's great.
You know? Richard is such a character.
He's amazing.
For those of you that don't get the complimentary tickets, here's how you can get your tickets. You go to theater68.com or plays411.com/Lenny Bruce. General admission is a nominal fee of $35, running time approximately 85 minutes. Mm-hmm. That's a quick
Is there an intermission? Is it
no intermission.
Okay, one act.
Right.
And a note for mature audiences, there will be some nudity involved.
Not some. There will
which
be
we're
going to
feature on,
will be
we're going to feature it on the radio here today. We're going to give everybody a little glimpse of what
you probably just sold 50 tickets just
that's right,
there.
All of a sudden
or kept people away. Depends on
our Facebook page explodes. So again, performances, you're extended all the way through January 27th, 2018. Performances are only Friday and Saturday at 8 p.m. So no Sunday shows. Get out there on Friday or Saturday.
Absolutely. Fellas, we are coming up to a time that we usually ask our guests to tell
embarrassing moments.
Everybody get scared. Don't get nervous.
It's all right. This is embarrassing moments. Michael, can you tell them why we do this bit and what they need to get us
through? Well, yes, we do this because everyone has them in their career, whether it be on the stage or on television or in a film or wherever. And it's something that happens that sometimes, for some people, can almost persuade them to leave the business. I mean, they're so mortified that something like this could have possibly happened. Usually they don't, but... we've heard them all here.
And the stars get through them.
Yeah.
Ronnie, you got anything for us?
Oh, I do.
Uh-oh.
I do.
let me get my drop button ready.
Really great segue with the nudity part that we were just discussing. Last weekend, we have a projector that lights the beginning and end of the show. I don't want to give too much away, but let's just say the first image is lights up, and it's a pretty pretty dramatic image. And but it's tastefully lit, you know. We use the projector light; it really looks nice, and you could see he's naked, but it's not all that revealing. Well, the projector wasn't working,
no.
So I had a choice: I either stand up and just go, "Here it is, and this is what I have," and I can't help it; my mother made me. This is what I have, or I try to be clever.
Sit cross-legged for a long time.
You know, and I went, and I heard Lenny go, just do it, you know? If you're going to do it, do it. And everyone got to see a bit more than they expected. And
the full Monty.
But I have to say, it was really, I don't know, what's the word? Cathartic? I don't know.
I'm sure.
Maybe that's not the word. It just was like...
freeing experience in a way,
it was
way
a
too.
Freeing experience. So now I gained a lot of confidence from that. I lost a few friends, but I gained a lot of confidence. Whatever the hell happened.
And a few Twitter followers. So
that's one of many. I've been doing this 22 years, so I've been embarrassed quite a few times. But I'd say that one is really relevant and ties in with what's going on right now.
And now the question is, who sabotaged the projector, and will they do it again?
Exactly.
Mr. John Lloyd Young, do you have anything for us today?
I've been embarrassed since I left the womb. you don't go into this business without just getting used to being embarrassed a
That's
lot.
So true.
Right? I mean, there's a rejection, and now especially, you know, it's, you know, when I entered the business, the internet was just coming into being. You know, you're a struggling actor, no one cares about you. Then you succeed, and everybody, you know, and suddenly you're reading all these things online by strangers, that, you know, some of which are insulting, you know. I don't usually get embarrassed. Once I've jumped off of the the block into the pool for whatever the 2 hours of the show.
You keep swimming.
I just keep swimming. There was one show back in the original run of Jersey Boys. I had gotten kind of cocky. I was on vacation for a week, and I came back and I was like, I've been doing this show for a year. I know my stuff. I didn't go over my script, anything. I just went back into the show. And there's this pivotal moment in the show, which now also is a pivotal moment in the movie, where Frankie stands up to Tommy DeVito and chews him out. And in the play, he stands up at the table and interrupts him and chews him out. And I stood up, and I didn't remember any of my lines. And yeah. I got to provoke him into grabbing me by the lapel, you know, and then they break up the fight. But I didn't give him any reason to grab me. They did anyway. It seemed like forever. It seemed like a minute went by. The good thing about when you're doing a show on stage and you make a mistake is that then the next moment, the audience is right there with you the next moment.
Sure, that's so true.
So you just keep going with the egg on your face.
And with a one-man show.
Through it.
I've on my lines and there's nobody to look at.
That's right.
I've gotten to the point in the show, though, that I literally will say to the audience, what was I talking about? I do that because what am I going to do?
But that's kind of in character, I would imagine. Right?
What was I talking about? Yeah, you know what I mean? But I'm a little nutty. If people fall asleep, I wake them up. I kind of lose my mind.
You know, one thing that in a Broadway style show, when you've got now everyone has mics, and in Jersey Boys, you know, you're holding a practical mic.
Sure.
So if I went up on a lyric or whatever, I'd just tap the mic and pretend that, you know,
right,
that you guys on the soundboard.
Nice.
Wow, you threw him under the bus. That's nice, John.
Smart.
But I mess up in lyrics sometimes, even at your place.
Wow.
And that's just something that happens in a live show. And yeah, I never embarrass for messing up a lyric. Right. I just either start over or smile wryly at the audience.
I went blank. On opening night, I went blank.
Did you?
For a full minute.
Really?
I want you to imagine a minute blank, me in a full house.
Wow.
And the final dress, I was like grooving like you. I was like, I got this, man. And then I went blank, and then I stood there for a minute breathing really heavy in a microphone, and I finally came out of it, but imagine.
Oh my goodness!
The worst fear happened. It was unbelievable.
The Brits call that drying up.
Drying up, yeah.
That's dried.
So true. That's
really the feeling you have. It's like it's a blank page.
Well, and they happen. That's so I had one this year in Christmas Carol where I bring Tiny Tim out on. This is at Thousand Oaks Civic Arts Plaza with the great Ed Hall and Alan Hunt, and I bring Tiny Tim out on my shoulder playing Bob Cratchit, and our scarves had gotten intertwined and wrapped around the button on his coat. So, and our Tiny Tim's been doing the part for 4 years, so he's not quite as tiny as he used to be. I've got this kid on my back, and I'm supposed to put him down in the first 2 seconds of the scene. I had to carry him through the entire scene.
Oh,
each time I set him down, my scarf would grow a little tighter around my neck, and I saw that veil. That's right. So, but it was so interesting because you go, yeah, I mean, that's live theater. That's one of the great things about it is you got to get through it. And we walked off stage and this little 8-year-old kid gave me the biggest hug. And he was like, that was awesome. You know, that was a cool thing.
Well, like John said,
happens.
I mean, you know, to me, the moment-to-moment in theater is what makes it magical.
So true.
And the audience identifies with the flaws. That's what they want. They, you know, that's where the magic lives. You know, it's not the by
rote. Sitting there, too. They're sitting there. We are up there on the tightrope. They're sitting and watching. We're alive
in that
room. We know, you know, my brain's still working. Even if I'm singing other songs, I'm still aware that their position is easier than mine. So if I make a mistake, like I know that they're going to know, you know, at least it wasn't them.
And they're with you. That's so
what do they say? The first people's first fear ahead of death is
public
speaking.
That's right.
Right. So if I'm standing up there and make a mistake, it's like,
that's
you're
so
sitting
true.
In a chair. I know you're going to forgive me.
Thanks for mentioning that, John. Yeah. I'm scared to go on stage. I didn't know that was my fear.
Either of these guys on a tightrope are great to watch.
One of the other things we didn't mention about the matinee performance that you're doing on the 30th is that you're going to do a talk back. Right? At the end of the performance, first time that we've done that, with Tommy Farragher.
This is at the matinee.
At the matinee only.
By day, by night. Okay,
matinee only. And then at the evening show, the audience will have the opportunity to meet and greet John after the performance.
All right.
Which he usually does at every performance, but we're not doing it twice in one day. So we're doing this special. It's two different shows. Entirely.
Tommy, and you said Tommy's joining me, right?
So
we'll just... Well, let's see what they ask.
Exactly.
Well, and obviously, as we blow out 2017 with a great year, and we are giving away 10 pairs of tickets to two great shows, 5 each. If you want to go see John Lloyd Young in By Day, By Night, you can drop us a note on our Facebook page. Again, that's State of the Arts with Michael Sterling and Andrew David Janes. Or you can go see I'm Not a Comedian, I'm Lenny Bruce, and get tickets to that the same way. Drop us a private message or leave us a note on our public page and let us know you'd like to see those. We're giving away 5 tickets, 5 pairs of tickets to each show.
Yep.
That's pretty cool.
Yep. And you know what? We've come to that time that this program is sadly over. over because I think we probably could sit here and do another hour.
No doubt about it.
But
especially with these two,
I think what we should do is pay homage to Mr. Young and the performances that he's going to be doing over the weekend, since we have another track of his.
We do.
And it is from his album, My Turn. And this will show you the diversity of what he does. And this is the coolest album because his affection for music from a particular era, of the 60s and the 50s is done in a very, you know, rearranged kind of way, but his take on it. So can we pull that up?
We can, and I'll play that in just a moment. Let's give a big thank you to both of our guests.
Absolutely.
As we say goodbye, and Happy New Year to both of you. Break legs.
Happy New Year to all the listeners.
Yes, Happy New Year.
Yeah.
And we, of course, want to say a big thank you to all of our audiences here at State of the Arts, all the people who have supported us, and as we change to a great new sponsor next week, we hope you'll join
us.
And
we do
right
thank Breakdown Services
for standing
by for 7 years. It was a gas, guys, so thank you so much.
And I'd like to thank the studio audience again, too. You've been really great.
You can take them with you. I can download the tracks, and you can walk on out.
Great. I'll play it in my car when I feel bad.
I'll take all the applause I can get just walking around.
I'd like to thank John for that bio that you read of his. I'm going to go home and burn my resume. Thank you, John. I came in here feeling 6 foot
tall. Not anymore. Ladies and gentlemen, Happy New Year. Be safe. Take care of one another. And this is, again, John Lloyd Young.
Hold me, hold me. Never let me go until you've told me what I want to know. And then just hold me, hold me. Make me tell you I'm in love with you. Tell you I love you. They told me be sensible with your new love. Don't be fooled thinking this is the last you'll find.